time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Yes, it does. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday edition of the show. A lot to do over the next 60 minutes. We will be joined by Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com, SiriusXM NHL radio contributor. Also, we'll be hanging out with Nick Hamilton, who makes his Sports Wrap debut. Nightcast Media, also with SiriusXM Radio. Get some thoughts with him on the Lakers and Clippers, all things L.A. basketball. But we start things out in the NBA. Sam Yarnell, let's talk about last night's Lakers win, the Kings win as well, and the Lakers are headed to the postseason. The Warriors are headed home for a long offseason where they're going to have to figure some things out. What a wild finish between the Pelicans and Lakers last night, though, obviously. The big concern is the injury to Zion Williamson just being called a leg injury, leg soreness. I don't know. You don't leave a game in that spot. And we'll get to the Lakers in a second. You don't leave a game in that spot, Sam. In that moment, season potentially on the line, setting up a player go home for them on Friday, unless something far more serious than some leg soreness is going on. They said they're doing more tests on Wednesday. We'll see what those yield. Put all that aside for just a moment, because we do have to come back to it. He was a man amongst boys last night. He had 40. The Lakers knew what he was going to do every time he got the ball, and they still couldn't stop him.
40, 11, and 5. Like, it wasn't just the 40. He had 11 boards and 5 dimes to go with it. It was incredible. To the injury thing, though, Jason, to your point, you don't leave that game in that spot, no matter, well, if the injury is at all play throughable. I think that what spoke more to me, though, was Zion's reaction to the injury. It seemed like this was an injury that had either been nagging him or that he has experienced before. The general dissatisfaction on his face and the frustration that you could kind of feel through the TV, it seemed like there was something a lot bigger going on with Zion. And it's a real shame because he was the best player on the floor last night on a floor that included the best player of all time and one of the best big men of the last 10 years. So
it had the feeling like something popped. Like it wasn't soreness. He felt something. When you pull your jersey up over your face to cover your emotions the way he did, at least he wasn't eating his emotions away, by the way. See, that's such a low blow. I got to be better than that. I really do have to be better than that. Yeah, I got to be better than that. Be better, Jason. When you see somebody pull their jersey up over their head like that, it tells you something far more serious was wrong. And God, we got you crying. I love it.
My gosh, you really got me with that one, man.
But it tells you something far more serious was wrong. They were very secretive about what was going on. You had the owner of the team or the GM of the team running into the locker room and not much being said. You got to wonder what his status is for Friday. And if they don't have him, here's the amazing thing about all of this. They owned the Kings this year, who we'll get to in a second. They owned the Kings. They were 5-0, the Pelicans were, against the Kings this year. With no Zion, it dramatically changes the image of that game. Move away from that for a second. We'll see what goes on with Zion, and we'll see what happens with the injury. The Lakers had a big lead in that game. It got whittled away. The game was tied late. And who knows, if Zion finishes that game, they may wind up playing on Friday night instead of the Pelicans. But all that aside, Lakers get a win on the road. Now what do you get as your reward for that? The Nuggets in the opening round who've beaten you 8 games in a row. And you have to wonder, you know, what's the over-under? If I set the over-under at a half a game that the Lakers win in that series? Are you taking the over or under? Are we setting it at 1.5? And I'm the biggest LeBron guy, and I would love to try and make an argument for the Lakers, but it's tough to do so when this particular matchup just does not seem to be good for them.
You're right, Jason. It is. I would take the over on the half game that the Lakers win. I might have to think about it a little more, bit more if we talk about 1.5. The Lakers are in such an interesting spot, though, because this is something that we talked about on the show earlier this week with regard to the Denver Nuggets, and that is, this is a team that historically, right, when they get to the playoffs, they flip this switch and they become the best team in the NBA. And we saw them do this during games in the regular season. It was really incredible. However, at the end of the year, that really seemed like it was getting away from them a little bit, that innate ability to turn it on. I think that if that continues here, that's where that door for the Lakers creeps open because, you know, at the end of the day, are you going to bet against LeBron and AD in the playoffs against anybody? Yes, unequivocally. However, if that team isn't playing at their absolute best, it's really hard not to because LeBron showed you last night. The guy was an assist and a rebound shy of a triple-double in a play-in game at age, what is he now?
742. Yeah. He's Yoda. He's
at
Yoda.
At 39, he's an assist and a rebound shy of a triple-double in the play-in tournament. It's incredible, and that is the only hope. If LeBron keeps playing at that MVP pace and the Nuggets just can't turn it on for like three games.
Say this, by the way. There isn't a court or a game, or even at this stage of his career, LeBron isn't the most physically dominating player in the game. Last night was the exception to that with Zion Williamson. Kings beat the Warriors last night. We'll get to the Warriors coming up in about 20 minutes. I want to talk about them and kind of keep them separate. This wasn't, I have to say, and I have crushed the Kings over the last couple of weeks because of the way they have played and as lethargic as they've looked and as bad defensively as they've been. That team last night, that team's got a puncher's chance if they play that way. They had to play basically a perfect game, but they played really well. And again, we'll get to the Warriors in a second. Keegan Murray was outstanding in that game. Sabonis was dominant in the middle. And like I said, from a defensive standpoint, that Mike Brown coach team last night, very impressive. We'll see what they do on Friday night, obviously, to try and win their way in to the playoffs. If Zion plays, I don't think they're winning that game in New Orleans. But credit to the Kings for at least doing what they had to do. And they vanquish the Golden State Warriors and send them into an offseason with a lot of question marks, which again, we'll get to in a couple of minutes. Quickly.
Klay Thompson did not score in this game. He was 0-for-10 shooting. JaVale McGee had more points than Klay Thompson in 30 less minutes on the floor. My gosh, if you didn't know that the Warriors dynasty had come to an end, now you do. I've been trying to tell you it for months. This was inevitable. My gosh.
Yeah, it certainly was. We'll get to them coming up in about 20. Sam will rejoin us in a bit. We'll talk with Nick Hamilton of Nightcast Media, SiriusXM contributor and host there as well. Sports Wrap continues on this Wednesday. Don't go anywhere.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022, and the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can use your information in ways that are easy to miss by just monitoring accounts and credit, like opening loans, transferring home titles, even committing crimes.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
You can do so much with a Social Security number that I didn't know could happen. They drained my bank account. It was terrifying.
You're even more vulnerable than you realize. Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place. Like someone trying to use your Social Security number, open a new loan in your name, or even commit a crime in your name.
There was a big yes button and there was a big no button. I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will be assigned to your case and work to fix the issue on your behalf.
If something happens, you have somebody fighting for you.
All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds, personal expenses, and coverage for lawyers and experts up to $1 million. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. With LifeLock, it's easy to help protect yourself.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Join the millions of people already protected by LifeLock. And for a limited time, save 25% on your first year with promo code 25TV.
all plans include a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Call 800-710-7531
or visit LifeLock.com/25TV to save 25% on your first year of identity theft protection. Enroll now.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Call the number on your screen today. It's a free call.
Sammy Arnell comes back in about 10 minutes. We'll get into the Warriors mess with him after they fall to the Kings last night, ends their chances at making the postseason. All right, let's talk with Nick Hamilton. First time we've had him on since we became a TV program, first and foremost. Nick Hamilton, Nightcast Media, also SiriusXM Radio as well. And Nick, I want to talk with you about the Lakers and the Clippers a bit here. Maybe a question on the Warriors if we have time. Start with the Lakers, who get the Nuggets now after a win on Tuesday night in New Orleans against the Pelicans. They've lost eight in a row against the Nuggets. You give them any chance?
I got Denver in five. I think the Nuggets... Denver is your daddy. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I think LeBron is playing extremely well. Anthony Davis has played well. But I think it's not just up to those two individuals. I think it has to be a collective effort. Is Gabe Vincent going to step up? What is Austin Reeves going to be able to do? And the rest of the guy, you know, D'Lo, is he going to be able to
D'Angelo Russell, I think, is so key.
You know, he struggled. Yeah.
I think Russell is so key for them.
He's got to step up. I mean, we've seen him, what he does in the regular season, but now can you do that in the postseason? Can you mimic that in the postseason and take it up another notch, as you just said? So I think when you look at this Lakers team, they have an opportunity. That's why I say I don't think they're going to get swept. I think they're playing good basketball at the right time, but they're still not putting away teams. This is what the most surprising thing. The fact that they almost got put to a game to be played on Friday, another play-in game, if it weren't for the injury to Zion Williamson. I think Zion was on fire. They had no answer for Zion Williamson. He dropped 40 and 11. He could have dropped, if he would have been able to play those last 2.5, 245, he probably would have dropped 50, and they probably would have won the game if they were the New Orleans Pelicans, because obviously C.J. McCollum was a milk carton all-star, because he acts like he didn't want to show up and play, like he wanted to have another game on Friday night. So I think when you look at just Zion, all the criticism that he took, and some of it was warranted, some of it not, but he took that criticism and he put that team on his back in the second half, and he showed up and showed out until, unfortunately, his hamstring gave out and he was unable to further compete. And I think the Lakers were able to take advantage of that because nobody else on the New Orleans Pelicans decided they wanted to step up.
It's rare that I watch a game, and I always say, when you watch any NBA game, LeBron James is on the court, he is still, even at this stage of his career, the most physically imposing, physically dominant player until last night. Because last night it was Zion. Last night it was Zion up until he got hurt and had to walk off the court and leave that game.
Zion trucked him. If you saw that video footage where Zion trucked him in the lane, this is a dude, LeBron James, like you just elocuted, the man who's 260, 21st year in the league. I mean, he's still playing at a pretty high level, and this is Zion Williamson trucking LeBron. Okay, that shows you how powerful and the youth of Zion Williamson and what the potential that he has if he could stay healthy, the potential that this young man has to be able to play the game that he loves to play and play at a high level. This is a kid that's going to be scary, dangerous if he can figure it out and put it all together.
Quick note on the Warriors before I get to the Clippers who fell last night. Because, look, I said a year ago it was time to break it up when it came to the Warriors. And the trend line obviously now points to them having to do something drastic beyond retooling around the big three that have been there, Green, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry. Unless you've got a Klay Thompson who's willing to take a major haircut to come back. I don't see how you bring him back.
But I'm saying break up to make up, because that's exactly what we're going to experience with the Warriors. It's time to break that team up. It's time to find greener pastures, whether that be for Draymond Green himself, whether that be for Klay Thompson. Obviously, you're going to keep Steph Curry. He's the heart and soul of that team. I hate to see the Splash Brothers break up, because arguably they're one of the best. They are the best backcourt duo in NBA history since Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. But you got to do something, and still, while Steph still has enough energy and enough gas in the tank, you got to do something to at least get him back in contention, because he struggled the last couple of years getting into the playoffs. Chris Paul experiment was a failure. I hate to say it. I love Chris Paul, but that experiment ended up being a failure because they weren't able to get past the play-in tournament. And that's one of the reasons why they brought Chris Paul in there, is to help them get deep into the playoffs and hopefully appear once again in the NBA Finals.
Give me a thought on the Clippers who get the Mavericks. Boy, it's going to be a fun opening round series. Look, 2 months ago, I had the Clippers as the biggest threat to the Nuggets in the West. Obviously, they struggled a bit down the stretch, health being an issue. I think the last thing that organization wants to see, by the way, is Kawhi playing in the Olympics. Just wrap him in bubble wrap, keep him as safe as you can for that organization. But they're going to have him playing in the Olympics. All that aside, talk about this matchup against the Mavericks. Obviously, I feel like Dallas might actually be the biggest threat to the Nuggets in the West, given the way they played coming down the stretch and finding some semblance of defense. What do you see when you look at this matchup?
I'm gonna pump the brakes on Dallas being a threat. Let's see what they do in the first round before we go that far. Let's not get the ticker taker parade in Dallas just yet. I think when you look at this Clippers team, obviously, I think Paul George is a phenomenal player. He has proven. He's put this team on his back. He showed out this season, especially at from three-point land. He's definitely taken this franchise to their first ever Western Conference final years ago. So he's proven what Paul George and the asset that he's been. The key to this series is going to be the health of Kawhi Leonard. Can Kawhi Leonard compete for 6 or 7 games in this series? Because we know what Luka Doncic is going to do. We know how comfortable Kyrie is with Luka and what Kyrie can produce us, as well as the other role players that are around those two, as far as how they've been coached up by Jason Kidd. So I think this is going to be a very interesting first round matchup. It's going to be the health of Kawhi that's going to elevate the Clippers to the next round. I think when you look at this Clippers team, obviously Russell Westbrook coming off the bench has been a significant improvement, but it's also going to come down to the shooting and the non-poutiness of James Harden. Can he control not only the ball, but can he control his emotions enough to be able to put the team first over him, along with being able to coexist with Paul George and the company?
I only got about 20 seconds here. It is such an important series to the legacy of James Harden, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's also going to see if the Clippers go ahead and give him a brand new contract at the end of the season, being that he's a free agent. If not, bye-bye James Harden.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there as well. Nick Hamilton does a terrific job. Nightcast Media, also a fantastic job with SiriusXM Radio as well. It's good to have you on the show. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it. Anytime, man. You know you got it.
Absolutely. Nick Hamilton joining us on the show. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back with some thoughts on the Warriors and missing the playoffs next. On this Wednesday edition of the show, and glad to have you with us. Dennis Bernstein talks hockey in about 10 minutes. TheFourthPeriod.com, SiriusXM NHL Radio. Did you see the way the Capitals got into the playoffs on Tuesday night?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. The reaction on Sam's face. Come on. Oh my God. Thanks, John Tortorella.
I saw the funniest meme on Twitter. Yeah. It was the Walter White from the Breaking Bad scene where he's sitting in the van yelling at to whatever. And it was someone had put the Red Wings logo on Walter White and was yelling at the Flyers not to pull their goalie because the game had art. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was really cool.
I know. Warriors lose to the Kings last night. They're going to miss out on the postseason. And look, the trending line here, the trajectory of this organization tells you that it should be the end for this group as we know it. The triumvirate of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. That at least one of those should not be with the team next year. And it's obviously Klay Thompson. And I know some people will argue, well, over the last couple of weeks, they put him in the starting lineup. He had been playing better before the 0-for-10 last night. Couldn't hit a single shot. Utterly useless for the team in a loss against the Kings that ends their season. And everybody after the game, there was a theme here. There was a message being sent by Stephen Curry. There was a message being sent by Steve Kerr. And it was, we want Klay Thompson back here next year. And I have to wonder, you know, Stephen Curry said after the game that he couldn't envision, and Draymond Green said he couldn't envision a scenario where Klay Thompson wasn't on the team. They better start envisioning what that looks like. Because unless he's willing to take a major haircut, and who knows, maybe he is, maybe staying in the Bay Area and staying with this group and finishing his career as a Warrior, maybe that matters. And if it does, then he'll take a massive haircut to come back and play next year, and they surround this team with some different pieces. I don't know if he's going to want to do that. This was a guy that a year and a half ago was still thought of as a max contract guy. He ain't getting that anywhere now.
My gosh. I get it. They won 4 rings. It's and great. Like, yeah, yes. It was all historic. Well and good. But come on. My thing is this, Jason. Besides all of the basketball ops part of it, which all, you know, is makes a lot of sense, and you can kind of tell that the emotions of Steve Kerr and the rest of that front yeah. office are flying high when it comes to bringing these players back and, you know, not being willing to let go. That's one side of this, and that's totally fine. The thing that keeps coming to my mind is, why have the fans not turned on them? My goodness, this is a franchise.
You can dine out on all those titles for a little while.
100%. But
I will tell you, but the San Francisco Giants went through this. They were able to dine out on the title years under Bochy. And then when it started to go bad, and you had more seagulls sitting in the seats late in games than fans, all of a sudden, ownership said, and you saw it in this offseason, they said, all right, we got to start spending money. Otherwise, you know, this stuff ain't going to pay for itself. I think the Warriors, I think the turning point for the Warriors will be when those sellout raucous crowds at Chase Center turn into, 75% full, and Joe Lacob starts looking at the bottom line. And then it starts to become an issue for this organization, and then they have to start making changes. As long as the fans are paying the freight, they're going to trot out these three together, I think.
And I say all that to say that to the fans out there listening to this, it is on you. The this is going to sound so much more grave than it actually is, but the future of the Golden State Warriors franchise right now is completely in the hands of the Golden State Warriors fans. They are the ones with all of the power right now. Steve Kerr, the front office, the ownership group, they've all established that they want to go about this in a very interesting way. And I guess you could say that they want to pander to the fans in continuing to bring these players back. So now they've put the onus on that fan base and on the public around that team to tell them that it's time to move on. We had our 4 years. We had 3 unquestionable Hall of Famers come through this organization and play for just this organization. Mm-hmm. We had another Hall of Famer come in and join for a championship Cameo. Run or two. Yeah. They did what needed to be done. It's just time they all come to this general acceptance that you've got to move on at some point. And it's a real shame that the front office has put the fans in this position, but the fans need to start understanding that they're in that position and do something about it.
Yeah. To a degree, I will agree that the fans pay the freight. And as long as they do, there is no impetus for Joe Lacob to change what this franchise is doing. This thing should have been broken up over a year ago or around a year ago. And I called for it when I was still doing the radio show before we started doing this, that I said it was time to break it up. And I would hear from Warrior fans and Warrior beat writers that no, you don't have to. They've got one more run in them. And look, I bought in. I have to say, start of this season, you and I were doing this show before it was on television, and I picked the Warriors as sort of a dark horse, that if everything went right for this team, they could make a run. And it just wasn't there. Last night, they got to within one in the third quarter. And even at halftime last night, when they were down four, I bought into the idea that they could come back and win this game, because the Kings had thrown everything but the kitchen sink at them, and the Warriors were still only down four at the half. Then they get it to within one, and then the Kings found another gear. The Kings found another gear, and the Warriors couldn't match them. They couldn't match their intensity. They couldn't match them from a roster standpoint. They couldn't match them from a personnel standpoint. And when I got to the fourth quarter of that game, and I watched, and Steve Kerr was just sitting on the bench. They were down like 13 or 14 in the fourth. And Steve Kerr's just sitting there, and he's got this bewildered look on his face. And that's when it hit me. It's over. It's done. Break it up. It's over.
Let me pose an interesting question to you, because we've been talking this whole segment essentially about when the Warriors should have blown it up. Mm-hmm. If after they win the championship in 22, mm-hmm. Steph leaves, Klay retires, Draymond retires, how different is the legacy for that team?
How many people do that? How many star players leave at the very top? I mean, Jerome Bettis, John Elway. And not many people leave at the top. Peyton Manning won one, you know, after winning a Super Bowl.
But you remember those names because they did it. That.
That's a great point. It's a very good point, Sam. It's a very, and I like the lean in for effect, by the way, too. Yeah, it's good. That's a nice play. Dennis Bernstein's coming up. We'll talk some hockey with him. Wild finished the regular season. We're coming back. The one and only Sports Wrap rolls on this Wednesday. Thank you again to Nick Hamilton for joining us a bit earlier. Also, giving us some thoughts on the Lakers and Clippers. But we got to talk some hockey. Wild finish last night between the Capitals and Flyers. Talk about a weird way to win your way into the postseason. Let's bring in our friend Dennis Bernstein, the fourthperiod.com, SiriusXM, NHL Radio. Caps in after a bizarre finish last night. I don't know. Try and describe to fans exactly how this all went down last night, because you have the Red Wings trying to get in. They're playing their mm-hmm. game. The Flyers need to win in regulation in order to have a shot to get in. They pull their goalie, not knowing the Flyers game had already sort of dictated their fate. They pull mm-hmm. their goalie in a tie game, basically. They pull their goalie. Mm-hmm. And the Capitals are able to get a goal to win and get themselves into the postseason in the most bizarre way. Thank you, John Tortorella.
Yeah. It goes down to the tie-breaking system in NHL. You have regulation wins. And the thing, and if you look at the standings today, you would see that the Caps and the Red Wings have the same amount of points, the same amount of points percentage, but the Caps have won more games in regulation, 32-27. That was the defining moment for the Capitals. So they won another game in regulation. And with respect to Philadelphia, they had to win the game in regulation to try to get to 89 points. That might have got them in if Detroit had lost in regulation. But since they got to overtime, they got an extra point. They wound up getting 2 points in the shootout win, Patrick Kane. But it was really unique because there was so much intensity from Detroit to tie that game and get it to overtime. And then when you see Patrick Kane win it with a shootout, and they all knew what their fate was already, there wasn't really much of a celebration. So it just shows you how close these teams are, Jason. You had a situation where you had, four teams separated by 4 points, which is 2 wins after 82 games. It just talks to the parity, not only at the bottom of the wild card qualifiers, but also at the top of the league with respect to division titles. You saw last night, Boston had everything in its favor to win the division. They played Ottawa, which is a team that's way out of it at home, couldn't find a way to win last night. So it's been really intriguing these last couple of games. And for people that want expanding Stanley Cup playoffs, we've been in playoff mode for the last month, 6 weeks. Some of these teams have been playing in the last 20 games of the season for a playoff spot. So that's why you don't see it. But that was an unusual set of circumstances, as you mentioned, for the Red Wings, the Flyers, and the Capitals last night.
Before we get to the disappointment for the Red Wings, who really played hard to try and put themselves in a position late in the season to get into the playoffs, talk about the disappointment for the Flyers.
Yeah, look, they were in a playoff spot for, I think, three, four months since like the middle of December. It's a great season, and the concern for John Tortorella, and he talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, the way they finished, did that undo all the great things that happened in Philadelphia? Because remember, Jason, people had this team way out of the playoffs. Like, nobody was picking them to go to the postseason. And to be frank, they don't have a very talented roster. Like, pound for pound, they shouldn't be in the playoffs. They're not a top eight roster. But he willed this team with structure, with the commit to the program he put in, the blocking shots, the intensity on defense, the forechecking. Regardless of how they finish, Jason, it's been a really good season. Now, it's up to Danny Briere, who's the GM now, to add to this team with respect to talent, because, you know, people talk about Washington, you know, they made the playoffs with a minus 37 goal differential. Well, the Flyers had a minus 26 goal differential. Great season, but now they have to build on that by adding offense and adding talent to the Philadelphia Flyers roster. But it was still a good season regardless of how they finished, and they did finish 2-6-2 over the last 10 games.
Give me a thought on the Red Wings, who obviously have their hearts broken. They had the great rally the other night to come back down 4-1 in that game and get a win and try to put themselves in position to make the playoffs. It's been some down years, obviously, for them for a while, but at least a little closer.
Yeah, very close. As close as you could get, Jason. Like, you know, they had won five more games in regulation. Maybe they're going to playoffs and the Caps aren't. So, yeah, very close. I thought they were one season away as well. They weren't good enough defensively. The goaltending was suspect. So, you know, Stevie Eisenman certainly has a core nucleus there to build off of. You know, as Patrick came back for another year. But it was a solid season. But, again, this team, they were in a playoff spot 2 weeks ago. They had it in front of them, and they couldn't find ways to win games. They had some brutal losses down the stretch. But again, if you're a Red Wings fan, you love the way your team rallied against Montreal in both games. And granted, yeah, it's Montreal, and they're way out of the playoffs as well. But they showed a lot of heart and character in these last two games. It's bitterly disappointing. But if you're a Red Wings fan, you got to think next season, now, we should be able to climb over an Islanders or a Capitals team to get to the playoffs next season. So next season, it's time for them to make the playoffs, because I don't think they've won a playoff round in over a decade.
As a diehard hockey guy, how much do you love seeing a Boston-Toronto playoff matchup in the opening round?
I love it because it's a daily double, Jason. Florida now plays Tampa. And those teams hate each other worse than Boston-Toronto, because that's an in-state rivalry. But, yeah, Boston-Toronto, you know, the echoes of 2013 when, you know, Toronto was up 4-1 in Game 7 and couldn't close the deal, and Bergeron won it in overtime. Sure, any Toronto-Boston matchup is great, but because the Boston Bruins lost last night at home to Ottawa, we also get the bonus of Florida and Tampa. We're going to have some wicked first-round matchups, but those two are going to be epic.
I only got about 30 seconds here. Rangers President's Trophy, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I don't think anybody could have predicted that this Rangers team would wind up where it is right now, could they?
No, they couldn't. And Panarin in another year would be the MVP. It won't be this year. It'd be Kucherov or McKinnon, but it's been a great season for the Rangers. They should walk over the Capitals in four or five games and then really get a great matchup against, I assume, Carolina in the second round of the Metro. But it's been a great season. They've deserved it. Their best players, their elite players, have been elite all season.
What does it mean for them, though? Because you talked about them. I'm sure they're one of the 10 teams that you could see potentially missing out, you know, or potentially losing or potentially winning a Stanley Cup. What do they have to avoid? 10 seconds.
They have to get depth scoring. The top guys will play, and they have to play well, but their depth scoring, their bottom six, has to give them offense, because sometimes top players get shut down in the playoffs.
That is Dennis Bernstein. That was 10 seconds. He's the best. SiriusXM NHL Radio on the4thperiod.com. Thank you, my friend.
It was a pleasure, Jay.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022. And the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can open loans, transfer home titles, and even commit crimes in your name.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place.
I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix the issue. All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Enrollment takes just minutes. Call now or go online and use promo code GET25 to save 25% on your first year. Enroll now.
All right, odds and ends around the corner and some breaking news from the NBA on Wednesday that we'll get to. F around and find out. Isn't that what the kids say? We'll get to that coming up. Something to consider, Sam Yarnell. The Dallas Cowboys have a bit of a problem when it comes to Dak Prescott. This lawsuit ain't going away. Filed by a woman accusing Dak Prescott of sexual assault. It's been moved to Collin County from Dallas County, according to the attorney for the plaintiff in this case, Zoel Zahey. In March, Prescott filed a suit that was looking for monetary relief in excess of $1 million after he received a letter in January from attorneys and on behalf of this woman accusing Prescott of sexually assaulting her in February 2017. Dak has vehemently denied this, and it's kind of this case that's going under the radar, and I don't know how the NFL treats civil versus criminal, and, you know, as this thing sort of plays out, you know, there's a possibility that this kind of impacts, you know, what the Cowboys are doing as it relates to Dak Prescott. And that, frankly, I don't know if he's going to be there after next year anyway, but that all remains to be seen, obviously.
Yeah, this is a weird story, Jason, because Dak Prescott's people are all saying that he's being extorted. So I'm very interested to see where this leads, because obviously Dak Prescott takes up over one-fifth of the entire Dallas Cowboys salary cap this season. His cap hits $55.5 million. That's absurd. And you're talking about an offense that not only lost probably their best offensive lineman in Teron Smith, they lost Michael Gallup. They lost Tony Pollard, who was a letdown last season. Actually, I think as we're recording this on April 17th, the two main running backs in their running back room are Deuce Vaughn, who was a rookie last year, and Rico Dowdle, who has something like 100 career carries. The Dallas Cowboys are in disarray, and this is only further pushing that into disarray.
Hey, we got a Rico Dowdle. But that's okay. We got a Rico Dowdle reference into the show today. I mean, I mean, where else are you going to get that in all of sports media today? I guarantee you there is not another syndicated national TV sports show on the air anywhere on April 17th or April 18th that's mentioning Rico Dowdle.
It's very true, and that's what we're here to give you. throw Deuce Vaughn in the mix, too. Who's talking about Deuce Vaughn?
Somebody
today?
Might have accidentally mentioned him.
That's a good point.
Yesterday on the show, you wanted to mention one more thing? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say they're in such turmoil. Their coach and their owner can't get along. Their owner's got three different legal cases going on. He's taking a paternity test in the offseason. Now you got the cowboy in disarray. Now you got the quarterback in disarray. You had a Kansas City Chief get in trouble in Dallas. There's nothing going right in Dallas right now.
For those of you watching the show in Dallas, if you happen to be watching the show in Dallas, those are the thoughts of Sam Yarnell. Let's hear from Rory McIlroy, who we talked about on the show yesterday. Todd Lewis caught up with him on Tuesday to ask about all these rumors regarding LIV Golf. We briefly mentioned this on the show yesterday. Here's how Rory addressed those rumors.
Well, Rory, there has been some buzz in social media circles and media circles that you have been offered and contemplating a move to LIV Golf with some pretty astronomical numbers. What's your reaction?
I honestly don't know how these things get started. I've never been offered a number from LIV, and I've never contemplated going to LIV. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is, you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves, and you know, who are we to judge them for that? But personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different.
The tour, by the way, it's not a tour, it's a tour. And by the way, he did judge it at first, and then he backed off. But he was very judgy at first. By the way, we all judge. Anybody who says, don't be so judgy, we're all judging. You're judging me right now, and I'm judging you. Go ahead.
You know, I'm just trying to do the mental math here, Jason. If you carry the 2 and the 850 million that live allegedly off. Yeah, this still doesn't add up. It still doesn't. None of it adds up.
This story didn't come out of nowhere. The story had to come from somewhere. Now, you want to make the argument, why is Liv going to float something that's completely erroneous that just makes them look bad when he says no? I think my theory is this was a trial balloon thrown up by somebody in Rory's camp to see what the reaction was around golf in the sports world. They saw the reaction and said, what offer? I don't know anything. I want to be on the tour. I mean, come on.
We've talked for countless segments on this show about the ramifications that this singular move has to golf and how the future of the sport will be greatly impacted by the next, 6 to 12 months of the sport playing out. But the most important thing that we've said to you people is that where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that this probably did come from Rory's camp at the end of the day, but I just straight up do not believe him when he says that he hasn't contemplated the move. Whether you've contemplated it in a good way or a bad way, everyone has contemplated anything mentioned to them at some point in their life. This just doesn't add up, no. Jason.
Nope. He got to look. I'm sure somewhere, somehow, this thing, has some merit to it. I don't know to what degree, but this story didn't just come out of nowhere. I'll keep saying that. We're coming back. Huge breaking news from the NBA and odds and ends. It's next. All right, just before we wrap things up, a reminder, you can check out the podcast vodcast version of the show wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, you name it, we're on all of them, every podcasting platform you could imagine. Without any further delay, time for some odds and ends. It is both odds and ends. That means the end for Jonte Porter. You like what I did there? I didn't even need to put that in a prompter. Well, Jonte Porter's career is done. The big news coming down on Thursday that the NBA has suspended Jonte Porter, banned from the league. I guess it's a lifetime ban. Have we seen the official words lifetime on this, Sam? Because I've been looking in the story, and I'm trying to find lifetime ban. But
Adrian Wojnarowski reported it as a lifetime ban.
Okay, so there you go. Banned from the league, announced on Wednesday. The NBA saying Porter provided confidential information to bettors, limited his own participation in games for gambling purposes, and bet on NBA games. Boy, he hit the trifecta with that one. Hey, you like what I did there? Trifecta, another betting term? Come on. We're just going to make this as corny as possible. We're talking about a guy losing his livelihood. He's an idiot. He wasn't even making that much money, and yet he was betting like millions of dollars through a VIP account in Colorado with one of the big gambling companies. I don't know if it was FanDuel or DraftKings. The quote from Adam Silver, I'll read it here. There's nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jonte Porter's blatant violations of our gaming rules are being met with the most severe punishment. It's why we get that two-minute report at the end of every game, too. I mean, transparency. God, give me a break. In the NBA, look, this is the tip of the iceberg. Do you honestly think in a league with, 300-some-odd players? 320 some odd players, G League guys going up and down. Do you honestly think Jonte Porter's the only putz that's doing this? I mean, come on.
So I'm actually going to take the opposite stance and defend the NBA here for a multitude of reasons. First of all, there's a very important part of all of this news, and that is that the NBA's investigation is still going on. Like Jason said, this is quite literally the tip of the iceberg. with Jonte Porter, they decided that they had it that they had found enough to give him said lifetime ban. They did it. The investigation's still ongoing. They're not done reviewing everything. My gosh, they only subpoenaed, or I'm sorry, it wasn't a subpoena. They only requested the DraftKings receipts for all of the Jonte Porter accounts like a week and a half ago, and we're already here like 10 days later. This is credit to the NBA for doing that and jumping on this as quickly as they did. I also think with regard to the to what you said in tip of the iceberg and a lot of, and this essentially going on a lot, we'll say in just the NBA, if they have the resources and willingness and hammer to bring down on a guy who made a total of $54,000 in bets, which grand scheme of things, when we talk about all the people in Vegas and all the real bettors moving lines and stuff, $54,000 in a grand total of bets amongst 13 different bets, not that much money. There are owners of media companies who gamble 10 times that on a single bet. If the NBA and the sports books have the resources to find a bettor who has this little volume and is making this little of an impact, I think that the game is in good hands in terms of them being able to find people who are doing this in the future, let alone should a star ever do it in a star-driven, league, Jason.
According to the league, Porter gave a bettor information about his own health status before Toronto's game on March 20th. League said another individual known to be an NBA bettor placed an $80,000 bet that Porter would not hit the number set for him in parlays through an online sports book. That bet would have won $1.1 million. I say this all the time. The common thief or the bank robber doesn't get in trouble for robbing one bank. It's when he tries to go back to the same bank 6 months later and do the same thing, thinking that he's not going to get caught. If Jonte Porter had just done this once randomly, I don't know that he gets caught. I don't know that if it happens once, but there was obviously a pattern here. And with these sports betting companies and the homework they do, the NBA doing what it does, they were able to catch the guy, plain and simple. And you have to think this is going to send shockwaves through the league in terms of other players that might have either been thinking about it or been doing it through proxies or whatever it may be. You have to think this is a wake-up call for guys around the league. They made an example out of Jonte Porter, as they should. I agree it does, you know, show that there is some transparency here from the league as far as sports betting is concerned. But I still think it's going to be a pervasive problem when you have a league that's decided to get in bed with sports betting and those sports betting dollars. And the players are still going to do this stuff. We'll just have to see how it shakes down.
We talk a lot about the money being funneled in by the leagues, and there are different ways that I personally think this could go about being done in terms of business, but it's good that they caught it. I'm glad how things ended up.
It's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to Dennis Bernstein and Nick Hamilton. We're back with you on Thursday for more Sports Wrap. I'm Jason Page. Good to have you with us.